Tanakh, if the thief will be found in an underground passage, behukov amet, and he is struck and dies, ein lo damim, there is no blood for him. I'll explain how the halacha deals with this, how the halacha explains it, and we'll see the Rashi, then we're going to see the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, the Gemara there. The halacha is the following, and you should understand that very often Torah will tell us a law by setting up a particular situation, but it really applies to a much wider situation. The situation that's being discussed over here by the Pasuk is somebody who stealthily, in the dark of night, makes it into somebody else's house in order to steal. The Torah says, and let's use the traditional names, Reuven and Shimon. Don't take it personally. Reuven is the ganef. Shimon is the intended victim. Reuven digs in stealthily during the course of the night. And the word machteret really comes from the word underground. So there's a situation that's being set up as though somebody is digging into somebody else's house in order to steal. And Shimon, the owner of the house, sees Reuven. The halacha is that Shimon has the right to kill Reuven. Doesn't have to ask any questions. Good evening, how are you? By the way, what are you doing here? What are you doing? No. The halacha is that Shimon shoots first and doesn't even have to ask questions later. That's the halacha. Rashi is going to explain ein lo damim, that Reuven, the moment he breaks and enters the house, doesn't have blood. He's not a live man. By virtue of the fact that he is breaking in and entering, he has relinquished the right to his life. Shimon can kill him. By the way, the Gemara is going to go even further and say that Shimon is advised to do precisely that. Habola hargecha, ashkein v'hargo. The person who comes to kill you, kill him first. Ah, so you're going to say, but wait a minute, he didn't come to kill, he only came to steal. So the Gemara is going to tell us that a person who comes to steal stealthily understands that a normal human being is not just going to stand idly by and let him steal. The person who is going to steal from, Shimon, is going to stand up and protect his property. And Reuven has in mind, if he's going to try and protect himself, I'm going to kill him. The Gemara, the Torah has set up the parameters of the situation, and therefore, even though he comes only with the intention of stealing, there is an implied threat of murder, and therefore, Shimon, kill him. Im zorcha ha-shemesh olav, the second pasuk says, if the sun shines upon him. Now, this is a metaphor. The sun shining upon him would leave the impression as though the breaking and entering has taken place during the day. Now, that's not really what it means. Because when I said that the Torah sets up a particular situation, but it really embraces many situations, it makes no difference if somebody comes by day or he comes by night, whether it's light, whether it's dark. That doesn't make any difference. Whenever a person breaks or enters, he is effectively, legally relinquishing his own rights to his life. He can be killed. What does the Torah mean when it says, "Im zorcha ha-shemesh olav," if the sun shines upon him? It means, what happens if it's so clear? It's so clear to the ganef, to Reuven, that Shimon would never kill him. It's so sure to Shimon. Remember, let's get our Reuven and Shimon straight. Shimon is the Steely, the owner of the property. Reuven is coming in. If Shimon knows that Reuven would never kill him, then Shimon doesn't have the right to gun him down. And the Gemara gives only one example of that. A father who comes to steal from a child. There's no doubt about it that if the child is going to protect that which belongs to him, the father will never kill him. The Gemara does not say that for the opposite. A father will never kill a son. Son? Well, okay. In Zorach HaShashalov means if it is so clear as the light of day that the person who intends to steal would never dream of committing an act of murder, then the person from whom anything is being stolen does not have the right to take the life of the one who comes in to steal. Under all other circumstances, Shimon is best advised. He is permitted. He's absolutely permitted. More than permitted, he's advised to kill the person who's come to him. Let's see what Rashi says. In the Machteret, number two, if the thief will be found in an underground passage, in the Machteret, so Rashi says, where do we see it in the word the Machteret? Machteret means to dig in. So this is the example that is being used. Ein lo damim, there is no blood. Ein zu ritzicha, the Torah says this is not murder. Harehu kimeit meikaro, the person who comes to steal, as far as the halacha looks at him, he's dead from the very beginning. He's already dead. Kan limadetcha Torah. Here the Torah has taught you, imbola harogcha hashkein lahargo. If one is coming to kill you, rise early to kill him first. Vizel laharogcha ba. This person, Torah tells you, is coming to kill you. Shahre yudeyahu. He knows. Shein odam mamid atzmo v'roesh enot limamono b'fon avishotek. This thief knows that a person cannot restrain himself and remain passive when he sees them taking his property in his presence. Lefichach, therefore, al menat came ba. The thief came with the understanding, shim yamod balamom in kenegdo, if the owner of the money will stand up against him, yahargenu, he'll kill him. And therefore, this is not simple theft. This is theft with intent to murder. And you don't have to wait around to find out if that's what he had in mind. You kill him first. Im zorcha Hashem eshalav, if the sun shone upon him, ein zeh kamin moshel. Rashi says this is just a manner of speaking. It's a metaphor, meaning, im boro lecha adova sheyesh lo shalom, if it's clear to you that he really intends to be at peace with you, kashemesh hazeshu hu shalom ba'olam, like the sun, which is peace, that brings peace in this world. Kach posher lecha, so it is so obvious to you, sheino bola harog, that he doesn't come to kill. Afilu yamod bal hamom and kenegdo, even if the owner of the money is going to stand up against him, kigon of hachoter libino. For example, a father who's tunneling in to steal mamon haben, the money of his son. Biyodua, there is no doubt about it. Sherachamei ha'ov al haben, the mercy of the father is upon the son. Ve'eno ba'al iskein fashot, he's not coming to take lives. Then, domim lo. Second pasuk says, dom, he does have blood. The father who comes to steal from his son, his blood is red blood. He's not considered a dead man. You can't kill him. Kechai hu chashuv, he is considered to be alive. Uritzicha hu im yahargenu balabayit, if the owner of the house is going to kill him, it's murder. It's murder. Okay, that's all we need over here. We can take a quick look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah in the Sefer Sanhedrin says, Habab, third line, Habab emachteret nidon al shem sofo, a burglar who enters a home by tunneling through its wall is judged on account of his ultimate end. The Torah anticipates what may happen later. And because of the real possibility that he may kill, therefore from the moment that he begins to tunnel in, he's already considered a murderer. All right? We don't need any more of the Mishnah. Now we take a look at the Gemara. Omar Rava. Rava is the one who establishes the principle.
Can I interrupt?
Yes?
He's considered a murderer or the one whose house is being burgled.
Yes?
Is considered a murderer. Which one?
In the event that it's anybody who comes in and the owner of the house kills the intruder, the owner of the house is not considered a murderer because the person who tunnels in doesn't have blood. He has lost his right to life. In the event that it's a father who tunnels in to steal from a son, that father has blood. The son has no right to kill him because the father would never have dreamt in his wildest dreams of killing the son.
Assuming you know that the father.
Yeah, of course we assume that. If he's going to come with a ski mask, then the son has the right. He doesn't know that it's father. All he knows is that it's somebody who's coming who may very well want to kill him. Kill him. Kill him. Now, Omar Rava. Rava said, my time at the Machteret, what's the reason, what's the reasoning behind the law of Machteret? What's the reasoning behind it? And he's going to enunciate that which the Gemara said, but I want to, which Rashi said, and I want to elaborate on that. Chazaka ein odom mamit atzmo al mimono. There is a presumption that a person does not hold himself back from defending his property. A person is just not going to let somebody steal his property and stand there silently. Vahai, continues on, Vahai Meimer Omar, knowing this, the burglar surely tells himself in advance, Iazilna, if I go to break into the house, Koi la poi velo shovigli, the occupant is going to confront me and he's not going to allow me to rob him. Vi koi la poi, and if he confronts me, Katilnele, I'm going to kill him. And therefore, Torah Omar, the Torah said, Imbola horgecho, hashkein lhorgo. If he comes to kill you, kill him first. I have a question on this whole halacha. There are a number of possibilities. Possibility number one is Reuven is going to tunnel in, Shimon is going to kill him. Now, when I first said this year, about 22 years ago, I used as a prop a watch. It's not the same watch. I've gone through a number of watches since then. And thank God I found my watch in time to have it for this year. Didn't have it last week. I lost it. Along came the Ozeret and she found it under my bed, which is where I should have looked first. But all right, I have my watch. I have the watch. Reuven comes to steal Shimon's watch. Now there's a possibility, a very real possibility, that Reuven is going to lose his life in the course of this robbery. That's pretty tragic. There's a second possibility. Reuven is quick on the draw, and Shimon, as he attempts to defend his watch, is going to lose his life for the watch. I'll tell you, it may very well be that in the course of a shootout at OK Corral over the watch, both Reuven and Shimon are going to lose their lives. There are all sorts of other possibilities in between. Reuven is going to be injured and a cripple for the rest of his life. It's going to happen to Shimon. Do you understand the amount of tragedy because of this Vashlugana watch? Do you understand the tragedy? There are going to be women who will be widows. There are children who will be orphans. I mean, it's a terribly, terribly awful situation. So I came up with a plan. As all plans are named after the authors of the plan. So this is called the Gold Plan. The Gold Plan is the following. That when Reuven comes in to steal the watch, you know what Shimon does? Reuven, be my guest. Take my watch. Now go to Brech Hentenfies with my Vashlugana watch. Do you understand what has happened by virtue of the fact that I say, yes, I'm going to part with the watch. Take it. I've saved my life. I've saved his life. I've saved men, women, children from all sorts of misery for the rest of their lives. What a brilliant plan the gold plan is. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. When I finish the gold plan, I'll give you all about 10 seconds to refute it. All right? Ah, maybe the Gemara... No, it's not. I didn't finish the gold plan, so you can't ask anything now. You can't make any suggestions. All right? Maybe you're going to tell me that Rava just now said in the Gemara, Chazaka ein odom mamid atzma al memono. We presume that a person can't stand idly by as his money is being stolen. So what does that mean? Does that mean that this is such a powerful feeling that Torah can't legislate against it? So I'll tell you, Torah does legislate against powerful feelings. Torah could very well legislate and say, listen, give him the watch, stop bringing a cup. We don't want any tragedy. There are enough tragedies in life. There doesn't have to be a tragedy about a watch. How do I know that Torah can legislate even against the profoundest feelings of a human being? So I have a little halacha down there, number 4. It's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim. The halacha is that in order to beautify a mitzvah, you should add a fifth to its cost. That means the following. If you can get an esrig for 80 shekel, and you can get a more beautiful one for 100, so up to a fifth of the cost of the esrig you add in order to buy him a beautiful esrig. I mean, Torah places a limit on the amount that you have to spend in order to beautify a mitzvah. What happens if one is in a position where he may have to transgress a negative commandment? So the Shulchan Aruch says, Avolotase, last line on the page. A negative commandment? Yitain kol mimono kodam shiyavor. A person should give all the money he has before he's over, before he transgresses a negative commandment. Do you think that's a pretty difficult thing for a human being to do? I think it's very difficult. But the halacha does not stop for a moment and blink. If it's a matter that you are in a position where you will have to transgress a negative commandment, and you can give all the money you have in order to protect yourself from being over that low sase, you should do it. The following is the situation. I'm on a desert island. I have $1 million with me. I'm hungry. There's nothing to eat. Somebody walks by and he has a kosher sandwich. Kosher sandwich. Any hashgacha you want. OU, Badats, Bells, Akudis Yisrael, Sheiris Yisrael. It's absolutely kosher. It's a little dried out and a little seen better days. And he offers me the sandwich for $1 million. I'll be left penniless afterwards. You know what the Shulchan Aruch says? Give him $1 million. Even though, of course, 2 hours, 3 hours later, you're going to be hungry all over again. And then you'll be permitted to eat that which is non-kosher. In order not to transgress a negative commandment, give all your money. Clear din in Shulchan Aruch. Mishnah Brura on the side, to the left. Huh? What?
What is the negative?
Not to eat treif. Thou shalt not eat treif. So I'm buying a kosher sandwich, so I shouldn't have to eat treif. Even though 3 hours later, when he's starving, he will be permitted to eat treif. But right now, you still have the means and the wherewithal to protect yourself from committing the negative commandment. Says the Mishnah Brura, on the left-hand side, of our mitzvah, lo taseh, debitul asehu, b'miniyom ilakayin, v'einosu, shumaisa, neged ritzon Hashem yizbarach. With regard to a positive commandment, not fulfilling a positive commandment is not an act of rebellion against the Holy One, blessed be He. Ma'ashen king below tasi, but a negative commandment, im yavor, if a person is going to transgress a negative commandment, kosef ha'morgan avron. Morgan avron says, there, it's of course an act of rebellion, and you have to do whatever you can. You have to do whatever you can in order to not to be over. Let's go to the next number. You're detained. Call them out. Call the Mishiyah, but you give all your money before you're over. Even though it means that afterwards he's going to have to go begging from door to door because he has given all of his money in order to buy this sandwich. We cannot permit that which the Torah has prohibited. Okay, I only brought this halacha in order to establish one thing. Torah may very well legislate against that which human nature would revolt against it. So therefore you can't tell me that, listen, Shimon is permitted to kill Reuven because a person simply can't control himself from not protecting his money from somebody who's coming to steal. Of course you can. If the Torah would tell you, take the watch and give it to Reuven, that's exactly what you would have to do. So now I ask, and I'm giving you a minute or two, what's wrong with the gold plan? Let Shimon give Reuven the watch, and everything will be fine. Reuven will be happy and he'll go home. Shimon is going to be able to go back to his family, his wife and children, and everybody's going to live happily ever after. And Shimon, of course, will go out and buy another watch. It's an unbelievably powerful plan. Yes? Yes. All right, you know what? Just for argument's sake, I mean, you're becoming very political, you know, we never talk politics over here. We don't do such things. But for argument's sake, let's say it's two Jews. So let's institute the gold plan between two Jews. Yes. By the way, you're a little racist over there. Okay, go ahead.
In the psychological world, we would call Shimon, who is the law,
yes,
an enabler. And if you bow to an enabler, what you do is enable that person to continue in
that pattern. You're enabling the Ganif to be a Ganif. Now, so you know my response to that is? I'd rather be an enabler and alive rather than be a non-enabler and dead. Yes. Yes, there's one, the Torah says to redirect him by killing him and he'll never steal again. Guaranteed. I'll tell you, somebody comes to steal my watch, I don't have to become his father and his mother and start teaching him in the dark of night how to behave like a mensch. Go ahead, one more, that's it. Yeah. You're absolutely right. Yeah, but I had to set it up that way. And she said, how do I know that he'll be happy with the watch? Once he gets the watch, you know what else? He'll want everything else in the house. So fine. So the plan is, even if he'll take everything else, I'd rather be alive.
But you have to guarantee that he's not
going to
kill you anyhow.
No, the Gemara says he's only going to stand up against me if I try to protect my money. That's what the Gemara said. So now, with all due respect to the gold plan is the absolute destruction of all of society as we know it. Because the gold plan would therefore legislate the law of the jungle. There is no longer any kind of possession. Anybody can go and steal from anybody. And not only that, the Gemara does this from time to time. They take a situation and take it to its ultimate absurdity. And then you see how really absurd it is. If the halacha would be that I have to give my watch, if that would be the halacha, Reuven comes in to steal from me, and Levi is standing there, and Levi sees that I'm unwilling to give my watch, Levi is going to tell me, you shaygat Shimon, give him the watch, it's a mitzvah, give him the watch. Anybody who's standing there is going to have to be on the side of the ganef. Unbelievable. Not only that, it becomes even more absurd. Here I am, They're coming to steal my watch. So first of all, I put on my girdle. And I say, Hinini Muchan Mizumin Lakai and Mitzvahs, giving my watch to Shimon, to Reuven. And I give the watch to Reuven. But wait a minute. Then I pull out my gun and I say, Reuven, I want the watch. So then Reuven puts on his girdle and he says, Hinini Muchan Mizumin. And he gives me the watch. Give me the watch. Give me the watch. Take the watch. Give the watch. Mitzvah, mitzvah, mitzvah. The gold plan is absolute madness. Is absolute madness. Madness. Now, if you think that this madness is going no place, so I want to tell you the madness is going someplace. After I had worked this all out, together with a number of other ideas, there are a number of options in this whole situation that I haven't begun to deal with at all. And after I had worked out all of these options, I don't even remember now how it happened, I came across a tshuva, a responsa, by Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. A tshuva is a halachic response to a question that was asked. And the tshuva of Reb Shlomo Zalman is absolute brilliance. I just feel bad. It's a very, very long tshuva. I can't learn the whole thing with you, but I can certainly give you some of the highlights. I can certainly give you every part of the tshuva where he absolutely agrees with me. That's for sure. Yes? I don't understand. Why are people mixing in politics? Give me a chance to take number five. Number five. Wait, wait. Listen carefully to what's coming. This is a halacha in Shulchan Aruch in Hilchus Shabbos. It's a halacha that anybody who learns Shulchan Aruch knows, but this halacha certainly was made famous by the Lubavitcher Rebbe Zeched Tzadik Livracha. Number five. It begins with Vav. I'm on the second side. Number five, right at the top. Halacha Vav. Ovdei kochavim shetzaru al ayarot Yisrael. Goyim who have besieged Jewish cities. Imbo al iskei mamon. If they have come to steal, they've come about matters of money. Ein mechallim aleim at ha-shabbat. You don't desecrate the Shabbos in order to protect yourself. Bo aliske nefashos, if they come to kill, vafil stam, or if they come and they have not told us what their intention is, which therefore means that I have the right to assume that they may want to kill. Yotzim aleihem bichleizayin, you go out with weapons, umechalalim aleihem et ha-shabbos, and because of them you desecrate the Shabbos. Then comes the next halacha, extremely important. Ubi'ir hasmucha l'sfar, and a city that's near the border, afilu lo bo ala aliske tev v'kash, even if they come only because they want to take straw or hay, that's all they want. Mechalim aleim es ha-shabbos y'mechalim shabbos. And the Ramah adds, afilu lo bo, even if they have not yet come, but we suspect that they want to attack. We do a preemptive strike on Shabbos and on the Chol Shabbos. It means number one, and this is of course most important, a border city. Why is a border city different than any other city? Because if a border city falls to the enemy, it opens up Eretz Yisrael for invasion. And therefore, even if all they've come is for straw and hay, your mechallel Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch is going to go around, go further and say, Yesh mi shomer, halacha zayin, shebizman hazeh afilu bo aliskei momen mechallelim. Today, and we're talking about a Shulchan Aruch that was written 400 or 500 years ago, even if their intent is to steal, your mechallel Shabbos. You can't trust them. They're going to want to kill. Desecrating the Sabbath. They're desecrating this. We're allowed to go out and desecrate the Sabbath. This happens to be a fundamental halach in Shulchan Aruch. Al iskei teven v'kash, if they come for straw and hay, you mechal Shabbos and you go out to fight. And if it's a border city, there's no question, a border city must be protected. You can't permit a border city to fall to the enemy, because then you endanger all of Eretz Yisrael. Or for that matter, the Shulchan Aruch wasn't talking about Eretz Yisrael. The Shulchan Aruch was talking about any place where Jews may live. It can be Hungary and Germany, when they had their own communities. If a community falls, then the Cossack are not going to go to the next. Not always were Jews able to stand up and protect themselves. That was the problem. And we'll talk about that further. Let's go to number 6 and number 7. I'll tell you first what it says. The Sefer Shmiras Shabbos Kehilchosa that was written by Rabbi Yehoshua Neuwirth and became a household sefer by Klal Yisrael, a sefer talking about the laws of Shabbat, was written under the guidance of Rav Shlomo Zalman. Every question was dealt with by Rav Shlomo Zalman, and was probably there are hundreds, if not thousands, of footnotes where he says this is what Rav Shlomo Zalman told me, etc. Rav Shlomo Zalman in the Shmir Shabbos Gilchasa. This was in the first edition, and only very slightly revised in the second edition. But it caused those to the right of Rav Shlomo Zalman to attack the Psak Halacha. Psak Halacha is the following. And there are three different halachas that are dealt with here, but you'll get the general rule. In a particular apartment, there is a chola, somebody who's ill, and there is danger to life. The halacha is that when there is danger to life, you're permitted to be mechalel Shabbos. You're permitted to desecrate Shabbos. All right, let's say we have in a particular apartment, there's somebody whose life is in danger. And by the way, when we talk about life being in danger with regard to Shabbos, it doesn't mean that one has to be on their last leg. As far as Shulchan Aruch is concerned, fever of 101, don't ask me to translate it into Celsius. I was born an American, and I'm going to work by Fahrenheit until the rest of my life. It's not going to change. And don't tell me, it's mea metri mikan, 100 meters. I don't know what 100 meters is. Don't talk to me. According to Rav Moshe Feinstein, 101 fever, you can be mechalel Shabbos. That's considered already in halacha cholishe, sheyesh bo sakana, a person who's ill and there's danger to life. An infection, something that can spread, is called Kol Shesh Bo Sakona, and you can be Mechalel Shabbos. In other words, the halacha never said, well, are you dying? Okay, boys, he's dying. Let's be Mechalel Shabbos. That was never the halacha. And you have to know there are many illnesses and infections and all sorts of things that are permitted to be Mechal Shabbos. So here we have somebody in a particular apartment needs hot water desperately. The very next apartment, they have a samovar of boiling hot water. You have no idea. There's enough hot water there to keep an army going. And now I'm faced with the question, should I boil up hot water here in my apartment? Or should I just go next door and get hot water? Go next door. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, don't go next door. Boil up hot water. Desecrate Shabbos. The religious right went crazy with this halach. And Rav Shlomo Zalman explains, I don't have to trouble my next door neighbor at all. I'm sure that if I would go next door, he would say, Ad chatzi amalchus, anything you want, I'll give you. Don't go next door. Put on the stove. Boil up hot water. Because a person does not, Reb Shlomo Zalman says, a person does not have to relinquish anything that's his if you can do it yourself. Even if it means Chilul Shabbos. quite a halacha. We would never have thought that that's the halacha. Okay? And therefore he says, cook up hot water and don't take... For all you know, you may even wake somebody up next door. They may not be left with enough hot water for the rest of Shabbos. Go ahead. The halacha says somebody is sick in the house. You're permitted to boil up water. Boil up water. There was another shaila, and also this appears. Somebody's brought into the hospital on non-Shabbos in the afternoon. There isn't any food left. But the nurses came with their lunches and their aruchat eser and who knows what. Should we ask the nurses to share their food with the person who's been brought to the hospital, or should we cook and desecrate the Shabbos? Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Aruch says, you desecrate the Shabbos. You don't ask the nurse for anything. That's her food. That's her food. There was a third halacha that fits into this category. And by the way, you can already begin to imagine the extent of this halacha. There's another possibility. A live electric wire has come down in the street. Moshe Zalman says, you see a live wire, first of all, you make sure that somebody stands there. Nobody should get hurt. You go to a telephone on Shabbos. You call the Chevrat Chashmal and tell them that there's a live wire, and they can come with their trucks and fix it on Shabbos, because it's something that poses a danger to everybody. There were those who attacked Rav Shlomo Zalman's psak and said, listen, let's have people who will stand here till after Shabbos and make sure that nobody... Shlomo Zalman says, no, I don't have to inconvenience somebody. There's a danger to the public. Danger to the public? Yimachal Shabbos. Call the electric company and let them come and fix it. Ah, then Rav Shlomo Zalman has to explain on what basis did he arrive at such a revolutionary psak halacha. So he says, you know where? Bobe machteret. The halacha of somebody who comes to steal instead from somebody else. And fascinatingly enough, the Torah never said that Shimon has to give up his watch. Can you imagine how I felt when I read this statement by Rosh Hashanah? He didn't use watch and he didn't use Shimon. He just said the Torah doesn't tell the prospective victim that he has to permit himself to be victimized. What's mine is mine and what's yours is yours. Let's take a look. I'm telling you, it's such a long tshuva that is so brilliant. It's unbelievable. I may read another few, but let's see what he says over here. V'sad gadol lidvareinu, and great proof to our position, mehabove machteret. Number seven. In number six and seven were all... number six were all of the halachot in the Shmirat Shabbos Gilchosos. I told it to you. But here I want you to see the words of Rav Shlomo Zalman. V'sad gadol lidvareinu, and great assistance to our words, is mehabobe machteret, somebody who comes to steal. Shekosaf haRambam, the Rambam writes in Hilchot Gneiva, Perek Tet Halacha Tet, umipnei mahi tira Torah domo shel ganev, why did the Torah permit the blood of the thief? Apal pi shebaal iske mamon, even though he's only coming for money, lefi shecheskaso, because you can be certain, shem omad balabayis lefonov, if the balabayit is going to stand up against him, Umenoowen is going to try and stop him from stealing Yahargenu. He'll kill him. Venimza, therefore, what emerges from this halacha in Torah is Hanichnas lebeit chavedo lignov, a person who comes into a friend's house or a fellow Jew's house to steal, Kirodef acha chavedo lehargo, is considered like one who's pursuing his friend to kill him. Ask no questions. Continues Reb Shlomo Zalman and says, why does the Rambam pass it like this? The Bal Habayit, the owner of the house, Shimon, the owner of the watch, has a way to save himself. You know what? I'm not going to stand up for my money. Take it. Take it. And therefore, if I'm not going to protect my money, this thief is not going to pursue me. He won't get the halacha of a rodef. He's going to go one step further. You know what it means? By virtue of the fact that I don't want to give him the watch, I'm turning him into a pursuer. I'm the one who's making him a dead man. Why didn't the Rambam take that into consideration? Despite that possibility that Shimon should give his watch, mashma daf misha sholeit berucho, from the halach it seems even somebody who's able to control himself. Veino bohul harbe almamono, doesn't get so confused and so worried about his money. You want to take it. Despite that, mutalo lamod almamono, he's permitted to stand up for his money, ulhit komeim, and to rise up neged aganas, against the thief. He doesn't even have to give it a second thought that by virtue of the fact that I'm going to want to protect my money, I am ipso facto turning him into a pursuer who is now a dead man. That by his objection, he turns the ganef into a pursuer. He has the right to get up and go and kill him. And it means it's not because the person who he's going to steal from is potter if he kills. It's more than that. He's not obligated to. He's not found guilty. He's not found guilty. All right. No, the Rambam is saying that by virtue of the fact that a person comes in to steal, he has in fact made his life valueless. That's all. Nothing else. No considerations. Ah, but Shimon could not stand up, could decide to give it away. Doesn't make any difference. Doesn't make any difference. And he brings another halacha. The halacha is, there are times that when there's a dispute between people, so Beddin, the court, is going to tell one of the people that he has to swear, take an oath by God's name. What happens if I'm the one that brought him to court? I know that the man is absolutely lying. And if he's going to take an oath, he's going to be desecrating and taking the name of God in vain. Do I have to be concerned that I'm the one that's bringing him to this oath? If I would not have brought him to court, if I would not have brought this suit against him, he'd never have to swear. Now I brought the suit, and because of that, this fellow is going to swear falsely, which is a terrible, terrible sin. No, don't give it a second thought. You have a right. You have a right to bring to court somebody who you believe owes you money. Nothing is supposed to deter you. He wants to swear falsely. Let him swear falsely and let him take the consequences for it. All right. So now, where are we going with all of this? Yes.
In terms of combining these two things, where you're committed to desecrating your body for illness, and you're committed to commit murder to protect your property, I'd like to extend you to something.
Yes.
Your house is on fire.
Oh, beautiful. Unbelievable.
No danger to any human.
Rav Shlomo Zalman brings precisely this example. And you know what he says? You can't put the fire out. You can't put the fire out. Because here, when the person comes to steal, the Torah has effectively said he's a dead man. But if all of his property is going to go up in flames, there's nothing you can do about it. That's it. You bow before the halacha. Yes? Can't, after he has left the house, you cannot kill him. He is only a dead man as long as he is in the process of coming into the house and in the house. It's, by the way, the same thing, if if Pinchas would not have killed Zimri in the course of that forbidden act, he could not kill him later. By the way, even in the middle of that forbidden act, Zimri has the right to protect himself. He can kill Pinchas. In other words, being what the halacha calls the kanoi who's going to kill, it is not antiseptic. You endanger yourself. Yes?
I got a little confused with the gold story, and then later, all the is it that you do defend yourself, or that you do give away?
The gold plan is a horrible plan. We have simply removed it. It doesn't exist. It's bad. It's a destruction of all of society and all of civilization. You don't give the watch. You fight. Now, there are two other possibilities that we haven't dealt with. There are two other options. Option number one, and Rabbi Shlomo Zalman deals with this, and I don't even know why he has to deal with it. What happens if Shimon can't defend his watch or his possessions? Reuven comes into the house with a submachine gun, a few grenades, and he comes in like a terrorist. You know what you do? You just stand there and hope he doesn't kill you. You can't. Don't think that the halacha says stand up. No, no. The halacha says be smart. You can't. Then it's very bad. If you can't protect yourself, you're in a terrible, terrible situation. There are two other options that have not yet been discussed. And these options are of extreme contemporary significance. Reuven comes to steal the watch from Shimon. And you know, Shimon isn't really sure that the watch belongs to him. Maybe part of it belongs to Reuven. You can be sure that Shimon is going to say, I'm not staying around to fight. I'm not even sure that the Feshlugana watch belongs to me. There's a final possibility, and that's most probably the worst tragedy of all. Reuven comes to steal from Shimon the watch. And you know what? Shimon believes that the whole watch belongs to Reuven. Take it! Take it. If you are not sure whether Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Jewish people, then you're in a terrible dilemma. Let them have this, and let them have that. And what happens if you're convinced that we are the great thieves of all of history, and we've stolen land from an indigenous population, and we don't have any kind of historic right to this country? Then you give it all. Don't stop at Gush Katif. Don't stop at Yehuda Shomron. Give them Tel Aviv. That's what Halacha is saying. Do you know when one is going to stand up to defend his watch or his land? When he is absolutely convinced beyond any shadow of a doubt, it's mine, it belongs to me, it was promised to me by God. This is the Holy Land within all of its borders. It's mine. And they're the great thieves of history. Then you stand up and you fight. The worst problem is, what happens if some of the people believe we're thieves and some of the people believe it's ours? Then, of course, you have the internal strife and struggle that we're in the middle of right now. The halacha in Shulchan Aruch about goyim who come to a border village and they're coming for money, so you're permitted to be Mechal Shabbos. On the contrary, you're supposed to go out to be Mechal Shabbos, because otherwise you're going to open up everything to the enemy. Can only apply if you really believe it all belongs to us. Otherwise, what are you talking about? So we'll move the border another 30 kilometers. And then when they want that, we'll move it another 30 kilometers. There's no end. The ultimate end, of course, is when we go back to Ropchitz, to Kolbyshev, to Anatevka, Baranovich. That's the end.
Where we belong.
That's the end. There's a parsha in Torah, in Parshat Vayishlach, it says that as Yaakov comes to the confrontation with Esav, two confront one another. So during the course of the night, Yaakov takes his family and brings them across the river Yabok. And then Yaakov remembers that he had left some little jars, some little jugs on the other side of the river. So he goes back for the pachan ketanim, he goes back for the little jars, goes back for it. And then in the middle of the night, a man begins to struggle with him. And the struggle continues. 1 hour, 2 hours. Man is not able to prevail over Yaakov. Now there are problems, there are doubts that begin to enter into the mind of Yaakov. What would a thief do if he can't steal? What does a thief do if he can't steal? He doesn't succeed. You know what? You run. Go steal for somebody else. There are a lot of fish in the sea. I was trying to get these jugs. I can't get these jugs. I'll go someplace else and I'll steal them. Yaakov doesn't understand. Why does this man continue to struggle with him over these little jars? So the Gemara in Chulin says that in the middle of the night, he says to him, V'chiganev ata, o kubyustus ata? Are you a thief, or are you a murderer? Forgive the pun, but in the middle of the night, it dawns on Yaakov Avinu that this man, while it seems he's come for little jars, doesn't have the little jars in mind at all. You know who he wants? He wants Yaakov. It takes him time until he arrives at the conclusion that it's not a little sliver of land here and a little sliver of land there. All of a sudden it strikes Yaakov. He wants me. He wants everything. He wants my wives, my children. He wants my whole household. And then there's a pasuk in that confrontation, as it indeed begins to dawn, and sorrow shall Esav, the angel of Esav, sees that he's not able to prevail over Yaakov. So he says to him, I'll tell you what an unbelievable statement. He says to him, Shalcheini, send me away, ki olo hashachar, because it is dawn now, and I have to sing before God in heaven. If I'd be Yaakov, I would have exploded in a paroxysm of anger. What do you mean, Shalcheini, send me away? Who started up with who? I was minding my own business, and you attacked me. And you know what the angel of Esav does? He turns everything all around. You're the aggressor, Yaakov. Shalcheini, let me go. What do you mean, let me go? I stopped you. I wanted you. That's an unbelievable ability. Where the victim is turned into the perpetrator of all of the evil. That's exactly what the Sarah of Esav did. Shalcheini, let me go. I'm holding you. I'm stopping you. I started up with you. So I always say this. There are people, and you, there's no way, I don't know how to protect yourself from it. Always people that I deal with, people that I have to listen to, they always start a story in the middle. He hit me. He yelled at me. He beat me. Terrible. Terrible. Then you have to start digging to find out, well, pray tell me, and what happened before? Oh, yeah, not important. Professionals. People are professionals. A story starts only at the point where they're hurt. Whatever they do for 1,000 years to others doesn't count. Oh, but when they begin to get it back, then the story begins. And here it is. Shalcheini, let me go. Ki olah hashacha. Who stopped you? This is the dilemma This is the dilemma that is facing the Jewish people today. This is the dilemma. This is the dilemma. Are we going to say, well, you're coming to steal? They're going to invoke the already completely discredited gold plan. The gold plan is a prescription for absolute disaster. The gold plan can only lead to further and further concessions to terrorism. That's what it is. I don't have to give my hot water on Shabbos. I don't have to give land that belongs to me, as long as I'm convinced that the land belongs to me. That's what it all depends on. That's the halach of Baba Machteres. That's the gadlus of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. What an amazing, amazing tshuva. That's it.